Welcome to the Hockey Strength Podcast, the official podcast of the world's best resource for hockey strength and conditioning information. HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to episode number 81 of the Hockey Strength Podcast, the official podcast of HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com. Today's guest is my friend and colleague, Ryan Garrow. Ryan is the head strength and conditioning coach at St. Michael's College in Colchester, Vermont. We talk about how he used a survey to make all the programming for all of our sports teams. We discuss at-home programming strategies when athletes don't have access to gyms, how to be creative with exercises and modalities, and Ryan's 10-year path to become a head strength and conditioning coach at a university. The audio is a little fuzzy at times, so I apologize for that, but it gets better. So stick with this one. Hope you enjoy this podcast. It's a great mix of tactical and story. Without further ado, here is Ryan Garrow. Ryan, welcome to the Hockey Strength Podcast. How's it going?
Good, man. Thanks for having me.
How have you been spending your quarantine time?
Quarantine time has been interesting. A lot of programming. I learned a lot that the coaching, that eye-to-eye, face-to-face contact is literally invaluable. And that's what I miss the most. But spending a lot of time with our 8-month-old golden retriever puppy, Edelman, and my fiance, and we're kind of just home navigating through this and spending a lot more time together, which is good and bad at the same time. But I'm really making the most out of it. It's unfortunate though, but doing what we can right now.
Yeah, it's definitely, I agree with the face-to-face stuff, but it seems like a lot of people are managing, moving to online remote formats. Why don't you start by telling people what your job is right now and how you got there?
Sure. So I'll just kind of work backwards, right? So my job now, I'm a head strength conditioning coach at St. Michael's College. So it's a Division II school in Vermont, right next, about 10 minutes from University of Vermont. We compete in any 10 conference, which is a really, really strong conference in Division II. I work with all 21 sports. And then women's hockey, we compete in the NEWA. And this year we're eligible for the Division I tournament for women's hockey. So that's really exciting news for that. So that's pretty much, we're treating it like a Division I program. And obviously ski racing competes at the NCAA level, alpine ski. We're trying to be really competitive across the board. And I started the March 23rd officially, but obviously with all this COVID stuff, everything is remote right now. So, but this journey was about a 10-year process in the making. I just didn't graduate and get this job. I worked a little bit part-time throughout the years at St. Michael's College. Before St. Mike's, I had an interesting opportunity. I was the director at Mount Mansfield Ski Club and Winter Academy in Stowe, Vermont. It's a ski academy private ski academy for mostly high school kids, so grade 7 through 12 and a couple PG kids. But while I was doing that, I was working with men's and women's hockey, men's and women's soccer and softball at St. Mike's. I'm slowly implementing, my relationships there and being around, because my ultimate goal, obviously, when I started there in 2013, was to be the head strength coach. So it was kind of an interesting path. But before that, I knew I wanted to get a master's degree to make myself more competitive, but to keep learning. And the opportunity kind of came up to go to Merrimack College with Coach Kamal. And that was probably one of the best decisions I've ever made. So I got the opportunity to work with men's hockey and travel with them, because Coach Kamal went on paternity leave. So I, had the reins and trusted me to go with them and travel and meet all the strength coaches. So that's like one thing that I really, really miss, but love doing at the same time, was just meeting and talking shop with all hockey strength coaches and see parts of the world, like go to Minnesota, things that I would never be able to experience in my whole life. So I worked with them, and then the baseball pitchers with Coach Leach at Merrimack, and we ended up winning the NE10 championship in baseball, which was unreal. And then I got to work with golf, and I love golf. The women's golf team was great. So all different types of personalities that you have to bring to the table and teams. So I had three teams, assist with a couple of more, and then going full-time grad school at the same time, and then, making it work, living at my my girlfriend, but now my fiance's parents' house in New Hampshire. So it was an adjustment period, but it was really worth it. And, you know, before that I was kind of at St. Mike's before, I had a couple men's and women's hockey and lacrosse, and private personal training on the side. So, you know, and then I was training some people out of my car, just trying to make ends meet and work. And, you know, after that I was back at UVM, just volunteering my time with hockey and basketball, just trying to stay relevant in coaching. And, you know, finally landed that job at Mount Mansfield after I graduated Merrimack. But again, I was private personal training for about 5 years. And then under my undergraduate degree was at SUNY Cortland, Division III school out by Syracuse, New York, where, you know, I was just, they have a phenomenal exercise science program, and I got to work with athletes there and be involved in that program. And then, you know, I'm originally from Vermont, which is awesome, from Rutland, Vermont. So it's about an hour and a half south of Burlington, where my, you know, my parents currently live. So I'm in a good spot now, and where I want to be after a 10-year process of just navigating through the field. And I have some phenomenal mentors that I, you know, just I'm in forever in debt, in their debt for, just taking me in, giving me the opportunities that I have now, and just continue to learn and grow in the field and looking to help people. So it's really cool to be on this podcast, because, you know, I grew up listening to HockeyStrengthCoach.com and Mike Boyle and Devin McConnell, and like just listening to all the podcasts and reading and being a member of it. And then, you know, now being on it is kind of full circle and really cool. So if I can give back in any way, and obviously I'm trying to keep learning myself. So it's a really, really cool opportunity right now.
I feel the same way. We like that. What was your first job, or maybe internship, in strength conditioning?
Oh, in strength conditioning, I was a supervisor at SUNY Cortland, just, you know, training the, I had trained some of the professors and just cleaning the gym, and then, you know, checking, making sure athletes had towels. That was a big, you know, then they get really mad at you. You know, nothing you can do. Just stop being mad at the gym, at the people at the front desk. So that was kind of my intro to strength conditioning. And then my first, like, full-time, full-fledged internship was at the University of Vermont with Mark Hickok, Justin Smith, in 2013. So I pretty much was there for a year, started in the summer, and was, you know, fully embedded in that culture with men's and women's hockey and basketball teams that are around that summer. So that was my first, like, full-time internship in strength conditioning.
And what made you want to pursue it further? I'm sure it wasn't the towel portion.
No, or the shakes. You got to make the shakes too. Don't forget about those. And clean, you know, you got to do your daily due diligences of being an intern, but it's about, you know, asking good questions and wanting to learn and taking ownership in the job. So obviously you got to make the best opportunity of where you're at. So I treated it like, you know, I didn't know what my next step was, so I wanted to do the best job I could. So like the biggest thing of why I wanted to continue was just the relationships I developed with, first and foremost, the coaches. Obviously, just, they're awesome people. I wanted to be around them, but the athletes are those just, you know, invaluable, like, face-to-face contact and connections that you get to meet them and understand where they're at, and you can really relate to them. Because I was like their same age, especially the men's hockey team. A lot of them were even older than me going into that. So it was just cool to form those relationships. And I knew, like, I really wanted to work in hockey, and obviously I am now, but I get a more diverse sense being around all sports now, which is cool.
What did you learn from Justin Smith? Because I know he was one of your early mentors.
Yeah, he was a phenomenal mentor. The biggest thing I learned from him is just how to, you know, develop relationships and just, like, meet people, you know, treat them like humans first and athletes second, and just, like, develop relationships. And that's, you know, goes beyond, like, the programming and stuff you can learn, but I really taught me that, how he just takes time and has, you know, individual conversations with everybody. And he's just a good person, and he's one of my really good friends now. So I always, you know, thank him for that. So that's like the biggest lesson I first learned coaching, that it's not about you first and foremost, and it's about the athletes and the people that you serve.
Yeah, I think Justin is a super personable guy, and pretty much every coach, once you get to the college level, definitely, and the private sector, if you don't have those people skills, it's going to be an uphill battle for you.
It's tough, and it's stuff you don't learn in school, like strength conditioning degrees. Like, it's just, they forget sometimes. I think the programs are getting a lot better, but they just forget that interaction part. It's not all about anatomy and physiology. Obviously that's important. You need to know that stuff, but it's more about, like, you know, your attitude, and people want to hang out with you, and be, especially personal training, if people don't want to be around you, like, you're not going to have many clients.
What did you learn at Merrimack? And I guess the question is, what was the value for you in going back to school to get your master's?
Yeah, that's great. Like, the biggest value was, I was a little bit older and serious and a little bit more serious, and I knew the direction I wanted to go. And, you know, that was to evolve in the field, but I was hungry to get a full-time job and be full-time in strength conditioning. So that was my number one objective. And the biggest thing I took out of that was the leadership role and how to be a better leader. Cause we had, you know, a month, everybody was called it a squad leader. So you got to take over the department, run the budget. You know, here's the budget. What would you do with it? Things like that. You know, in meeting with coaches, you're in charge of the program, how you handle the athletes, you know, you're in charge of pretty much, it's your program and your teams. So that's like obviously the biggest experience. It's, you know, hands-on experience that I took away from it, and stuff I'm doing now, like budget and meeting with coaches and dealing with all 21 personalities and scheduling. Like, that's a huge part of strength conditioning, is just organizational and administrative duties.
I don't think I've ever really thought of that too much, like balancing a budget. And are you, you're the only full-time strength conditioning coach at St. Mike's, correct?
Correct. I just started. It's their first full-time strength conditioning coach, because they used to just contract out to personal trainers. So I am the first strength coach at the school, which is just exciting. And then I'm going to be interviewing two interns that are, you know, really, I think, really strong candidates. Obviously, there's in their students that want to learn, and they're going to have 21 teams to have experience with, rather than, you know, they will be cleaning and doing that stuff, but like, they're going to get I'm going to put all my all into the internship program and try to make it give back to, obviously, because I had a positive experience being an intern, but like, they're going to have a lot of good coaching opportunities and things that I want to evolve that program. So I really want to grow and eventually get more, obviously, more staff that comes with time. But that's my first, you know, vision and what I want to do.
Let's move to the program that you gave to our site. It is the St. Mike's Men's Hockey Phase 1. And because of the circumstances, no one has much equipment.
Correct. So
how did you begin to write that program? Did you reach out to everyone and ask for what equipment they have, or did you just kind of like assume everyone had nothing? How was that process?
Yeah, a little bit of both, like, because just from knowing the guys and some what they have in the past. But so I sent a survey out just through, you know, actually I sent a survey out to all 21 teams, and it, you know, it's basically basic questions, you know, male or female athlete, what sport do you play, do you have access to dumbbells, resistant bands, and then, you know, anything else you have. And the survey broke it down for me, obviously, in Excel. You know, this team is, this has this, and I could really manage the program a lot better. So, you know, for men's hockey, they had at least some dumbbells, but things that I was looking for in the program were, you know, obviously based off of Anthony Donskoff and Jim Snyder at Wisconsin. So we had like the tissue remodeling block. So I'm like, just thinking to myself, I'm like, things we can do to be creative? Because a lot of it was no equipment anyway, and body weight and a lot of tempo work. So I started to put together the program and things that I found around the house, like a towel, a backpack for weights, and just trying to get people creative, and then, you know, do it yourself med balls. And that's how I kind of outlined the program. Just seeing, obviously, like a needs assessment you do for sport, I did it for equipment and then just mapped it out that way. So it was a 3-day a week, you know, tissue remodeling block that they can pretty much do at home.
And what are you using towels for?
So those are the, you know, the overcoming isometric. So you're going to be pulling the towel at max effort, kind of just like you would a barbell or a trap bar. And that's like max effort. So the first phase is like 15 seconds, and then you move right into like a plyometric movement right after that. You know, and I know the things I knew people always had were everybody has a towel. So that was something that I was like, oh, and I, you know, Max Tramarzo and a bunch of other, you know, that's what the great value of social media is. You can see what other people are doing. And it's like, oh, that's a phenomenal idea. And then you can see everybody using a towel now. It's just kind of cool.
And for resistance, what are some of the main resistance, typical like resistance training exercises in the program?
So it's, you know, a lot of it is going to be your own body weight with tempo. So I, like for RFE, I use, you know, everybody has a couch, so you back foot elevated on the couch. And that's just like, we went into an isometric hold, basically your knees about an inch off the ground and you're holding that for time. So the first phase is like 30 seconds. And then you're moving right into a more dynamic move. Just obviously, cause it, you know, it's hard. It taxes the lower body because, you know, a lot of them don't have weights and things like that. So, just being creative with, you know, using your own body for resistance and adding tempos, you know, you can do that across the board.
What are you going to do in the next block when after the tissue remodeling phase?
Yeah, after the tissue remodeling phase, we're going to probably move more into a quality strength phase. So that's going to be a lot. Ideally, I would like, you know, it would be in a gym and they have access to, you know, like whether it's a safety squat bar and things like that. But, you know, obviously, I'm not sure if gyms are going to open by the next phase comes out, because the next phase is going to be start June 1st. So we're going to use, you know, load up backpacks a little bit more, just for adding some more weight and resistance. And we're going to do a lot more volume over time, but making sure each rep is done with precision and intent, and then a little bit more plyos and higher volumes as we move through. Just because, you know, without a gym and access to a facility, you just got to make things work what you can.
What are you putting in the backpacks? Let's get super tactical here. Like, what is actually going in the backpacks that is most useful and easiest to maneuver?
I would say books. Books that hopefully athletes are using, but like, you know, it's easy to put in things that they have. So everybody has books and you can wrap kind of a towel around it, so it's not squishing around on you and going up and down, hitting you in the back of the neck if you're doing like weighted push-ups or something like that. So, you know, books are easy, and then filling it with towels is a great option. Kind of just anything that carries weight, just put it in the backpack and move it. Just have a good, you know, just have a good workout with it.
And one other thing I really like that you include in the program was the do-it-yourself med ball. So people can check it out. You have to go to the site and see how you can make your own med ball. But what's like the 30-second overview of how to do that?
Basically, you know, everybody has a type of ball, whether it's a soccer ball, basketball, some type of old type of ball just kind of lying around. And you can kind of cut a hole in the center. And then, you know, put a type of a water bottle or anything that's going to carry some more structure right through the hole. And then fill it with a bunch of sand, gravel, dirt, like anything that you have around the house. Some people have a bunch of leaves and things they could put in through it. And then just try to get creative, because, you know, trying to make no excuses for things. And then, you know, you might have to ask a neighbor if you don't have duct tape. Hopefully you have duct tape. Just duct tape all the way around it as much as you can. Make sure you fill that hole. And then you can really, like, you know, the weight is this, the sky's the limit with that. So ideally it's like, you know, 10 to 8, 8, 10 pounds, and you could slam it, throw it against things, and you got yourself a med ball.
Are we going to put Perform Better out of business, at least on the med ball front?
well, they're doing fine. I think they're sold out. So you know, that's the business to be in right now is Zoom and exercise equipment, I think.
Yeah, that's true for sure. What about the do-it-yourself TRX?
The TRX, so I use bed sheets. So you take two bed sheets and you tie them in a knot and you put them over the door, kind of like a TRX anchor, and you close the door and make sure they're nice and tight, and you can adjust the grip and make sure you do a few pulls and test it out before you just, you know, rip it off. But it's pretty safe and secure. You know, obviously there's no holes, and make sure it's a strong sheet, but that's what we've been using for, you know, do it yourself TRX. in the first phase, you know, you can actually do a really nice row. You put your feet against the door and you hold that iso hold, squeezing your shoulder blades, really get some good tension in your lats and your back for some more pulling strength, because there's so much pushing going on, especially, you know, kids or athletes are doing push-ups and all the pushing. So to counteract the pulling, because a lot of, if you don't have a pull-up bar, just something to do it yourself to get more volume in.
Yeah, so that really speaks, all those things speak to, we have options as strength coaches, just because we can't be in a gym and we don't know how long until we're going to be in a gym. And so think about what you have, like Ryan's done a really good job just assessing what he has. You know, I love the organizational component of like sending out the survey, figure out what your athletes need, and then work backwards from there and figure out what you can do for them. Any final thoughts on the like equipment side of things?
Yeah, equipment. I mean, equipment. Just try to get your creative. Anything that carries weight, I'd recommend not pets. It kind of gets, you know, if you post that, kind of looks kind of scary. Might have PETA coming after you. You can get creative with whether it's milk jugs. I've seen like for curls and weights, fill them with water or sand. Like that's even a cool med ball because it has a handle. Just, you know, you get creative, and I'd be interested to see what other people come up with. I've seen some really cool stuff for weights.
Yeah, if anyone has good creative home workout things you're using, then send them over and we'll post them, because that's cool. What else are you spending your time doing besides writing programs for 21 sports teams right now?
Biggest thing is I'm a huge golfer, so that they just opened courses. So I was just got out this past weekend. So I've been hit the course up, which was awesome. It was a little chilly out, but it was just good to be outside and around people. Obviously they had really strict social distancing in play, but like golf's kind of a social distance sport in general, and you know, everyone's walking now. It's actually really awesome, and it's just a good way to be outside. So that's what I've hopefully spending a lot more of my time doing is golf at the golf course.
What has been your favorite read, or maybe a book you've revisited since you've had a lot more time at home?
Ooh, that's a great question. So I read a lot of you know, the Ryan Holiday. So obviously the Daily Stoic is just, that's how I really like to start my day every day, just to get some good me time and just to refocus on the task at hand. So I think any all of his books are really good. So I visit that every single morning. I just obviously the Anthony Donskoff book that came out a while ago, I finally got around to that and finished that. So that was a big influence, obviously, in this program design, but just, I like reading his stuff a lot. There's been a lot of free webinars, and I spent a lot of my time like with continuing education, whether it's reaching out to coaches and like COVID-19. They had that whole free webinar with free CEUs, and the sleep one was awesome. There's just so much, like, it's just crazy how much free content's out there right now for coaches. And I started the NE10 Strength Coach Network. So it's about me and about 13 other strength coaches in the NE10. You know, we're going to be meeting this week for the first time, just to navigate and pick each other's brains, just because it hasn't been around. And the NE10 is such a unique place with, you know, 14 schools in it. And everybody, you know, some people have one strength coach like me, and some people have three or four and a big staff. So it's just interesting. And so we've got football. It's just cool to be able to network and start that.
What other advice would you give, or resources you would recommend to a young coach, or maybe a young thinking about becoming a strength coach?
Yeah, young coach, like, just don't be afraid. The biggest thing is don't be afraid to reach out to people. You know, the worst that can happen is they don't respond to you. So decide, you know, if you're a young coach and you know, your ultimate goal of where you want to be, whether it's hockey or, and you know, 20 Olympic sports, I'll be ahead of all 21 teams. You know, reach out to those people that you kind of want to see yourselves being like, and ask for information, advice, and don't be afraid to, whether it's network and intern under them. You know, there's always a way to make it work, and if that's your goal, like, you can make it happen.
And I want to echo that everybody in this industry is super friendly and very reachable. Even the top guys, as I've been starting this, not a single coach has blown me off. Not a single coach has said no. Pretty much they've all been like, yes, I'd love to help out when I have time, et cetera. You know, and networking, you'll only get as far as you push yourself in terms of you need to reach out to people. You need to be friendly. And like, it all comes back to people skills at that point.
Yeah. I mean, I just had a kid reach out to me the other day, and he was, you know, asking if I had any assistant openings. And, you know, I just told him how I just got hired, and he blasted his resume out there, just reaching out. And obviously with this COVID stuff, everything's kind of on a freeze, but you know, I'm going to remember him and try to help him out. Just because he reached out and we actually established kind of a relationship, and he's actually really got some really good experience. And he just finished with his master's degree. So just something that I'm just trying to, I'm actually staying connected with him. And now he's kind of in my network just from him reaching out to me.
That's a great example. And for him, it might not pay off necessarily in terms of get a job next year, but you don't know if in 1 year or 3 years or 5 years, which people who you've reached out to and have helped you will come back and make a big impact on your career and on your life.
Absolutely.
Ryan, any final thoughts? Where can people reach out, say hello, learn more about what you're up to?
Yeah. So I started an Instagram account for the school. It's at purple_knights_strength. So I post a lot of what we're doing remotely, obviously from content point from there. I'm on Twitter at Garrow Ryan. And then, you know, my personal email is really easy to remember. It's just coachgarrow@gmail.com. So you can find me on like posting things on Twitter. You know, don't be afraid to reach out to me, and happy to help you any way I can, or talk shop, hockey, whatever you want to do, get on the golf course.
What's your favorite part about working with hockey players?
That's a good question. I think it's just
compared to other sports, like what makes hockey players different
is obviously they're a little bit older coming in. It's just the sport now, how it's changed. Like you're not coming right out of high school. You're just not, most kids are 20, 21 as they come in as a freshman in college, which with some people it's like, really? But it's actually like, they're way better. They're more mature. They're a little bit more driven, goal oriented. And they want to compete and win. And obviously that's one of our, you know, the core values of our program is compete, and you know, how you want to, can you get better every single day? And what are you doing to get better every single day? And well, everybody just like, especially hockey, they just love to compete and get better. And this comes with the culture of being men and sharing that same bond. I don't think there's anything like it.
Yeah, I agree. We're pretty fun. Well, Ryan, thank you so much. Everyone, you can check out the St. Mike's Men's Hockey Phase 1 program at hockeystrengthandconditioning.com. And there's also the instructions for the do-it-yourself med ball and the do-it-yourself TRX. I'm sure you could probably Google the do-it-yourself stuff also, but check it out on the website. Thanks again, Ryan. We'll talk soon.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Thanks for listening, everybody. And thanks, Ryan, for coming on the show. You can take a look at the St. Michael's College Men's Phase 1 program only at hockeystrengthandconditioning.com. We are now, I believe, 5 episodes in. And if you've listened to all 5, then I want to hear from you. I just want you guys to come say hi. You can go to the contact form on the website, email, Instagram, whatever. So please reach out. And yeah, we'll talk soon. Thanks, guys.